Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, what I like to do is when markets are moving or hanging around, I'd like to share with you what my thoughts were ahead of this, so let's go check them out right now. Here we go.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. We have a, as I could have figured, we have a worldwide call because the markets were down, so attendance is always up when the markets get clobbered. Wait for global warming to kick in. And here we are, you know, and the markets were down, but again, markets never announce themselves. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, though, this morning about and about 4 a.m., 3 a.m. my time, 4 a.m. New York time, I looked at my phone and I go, oh, the market's not down, only down a little bit. And then the next thing I knew, I looked at my phone again and the market was down like another 100. And that was right when the Europe opened. And it kind of indicated there was something going on. And of course, as we always say, the markets don't announce themselves, just like the NCAA tournament. March Madness, we got March Madness in the markets too. I couldn't wait anymore, Captain. You got to be on time, buddy. You can't be coming in late, you know. I start right on time. I'm right on the button. I waited for you. You didn't come. I figured you were flying somewhere. Figured you were in Belize. But anyways, so you knew there was something crazy going on. And, you know, we'll look at it and I'll show you what I was seeing. In the meantime, just a quick note. I had so many calls for hedging over the weekend. And I'm going to do a new class starting on Tuesday, April 10th. That'll start at 7:30 Eastern time. If anybody wants in, let me know, because I've got too much demand. So I need to put together another one before things get out of hand. So Tuesday, April 10th, we'll get started with another hedging class. But we always start every call with, of course, our words of wisdom from Connie. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that matters is where you're going. Right. So whatever you did, OK, if you made a bad trade, if you made a good trade, it doesn't matter now. Now it matters what's going to happen going forward. And this is why, you know, we go over this stuff and we try to set these levels and make sure that you understand how the markets work, how they function. Because, as I like to say, every day in Christmas, market down because Trump and Venezuela is cryptocurrency. Do you see Bitcoin jumped 1,000 after the close today? On some, I don't know. I caught a quick news headline. But in the meantime, you got to just understand where you're trying to go. And you know, in the markets like they are now, you don't have to be in a hurry. There's going to be ample opportunity, and with the higher volatility, you don't have to be big. You can jump right in when it's time. So make sure that you're paying attention to what you're trying to get done, and not put things, you know, not try to get too overly aggressive. All right, because again, it's focus on where you're going, and as my captain says, make sure you know where the exit is, and that's the key. In the meantime, I know my man from Oklahoma is just here to hear this, so we'll get to it right away. So we can, even though I bitched the whole call, but this is my specified bitch. And you know, I don't understand why the pundits always have to make a story so much bigger than it is, and they create all this fear and anguish over Facebook. You know, it was down today, and the market's down because of Facebook. The market's not down because of Facebook. The market's down because it's sold off. It has nothing to do with Facebook. The market was going down before the news of Facebook came out, and the markets are ready to go down. So, you know, why do we have to make a big story out of it and start to scare the crap out of people when people tune in hoping that they get the right story, not the news story? Because the news is as I say, is garbage. I mean, it has no effect. By the time they reported this, it was already played out into the market. But I will tell you the one thing you want to focus on, FOMC and budget deadline looms again for Friday. Yeah. You know, the budget's a bunch of crap too. That could be another bitch. Those guys are a bunch of criminals anyways. And all they're going to do is, you know, make a deal in the back room. The only thing we got going for us this time is Trump is not such a deal maker when it comes to this budget. So hopefully, you know, we won't see, because, you know, normally whatever party's in power, it doesn't matter which side, the side that's not in power holds it over the other's head so they can get the vote, so they can get the deal passed. And they always make some crappy deal. But, you know, the FOMC, I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I think that, you know, I think they've already pretty much priced in what they're going to do. I don't think today throws a monkey wrench into it, but we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, we all these things are just ridiculous. All right. The markets are going down because they're time to go down. Markets are going down because they're overvalued. I mean, you know, again, we're not going to go up forever. All right. That's just the bottom line. All right. The Dow. All right. So we've got another lower high. Now, notice we drew this last week and here we are. We're staying within this. So that is exactly what we'd expect. All right. Now, we thought that, you know, if you wanted to sell the Dow, you know, 25.2 or so was an Apple level reasonable spot. And here it was. So you had an opportunity if you wanted. Again, I wasn't overly aggressive. I wasn't telling you to sell. I wasn't being Kramer. I was just telling you that I think that it's probably best to observe. But if you needed to get in, that was it. Now, again, I think you're going to test this low here and then probably go lower. I will bet anybody any amount of money they would like to that we do test the lows made on February 9th or 6th, whatever the date was. Okay. You can name your number if you want to bet on it. We're going to test these lows. Okay. Now, whether we break down from there, I can't tell you that. I think we will. I mean, that's my opinion. But right now, we're forming what's known in the business as a symmetrical triangle. We started out wide and we keep narrowing in, and we're going to break out of this side one way or the other. Notice we tried to break to the downside today, did not. Right, but you're going to break out of this one way, bigger than the other. It may be both. It could be a head fake up and down. But for right now, I would say that if you want to be a seller, 25.2 would still be a good level. If you want to be a buyer and to try to catch a bounce, I'd probably say about 24.2. Somewhere, it's about 1,000-point range right now. I called the top back here, young man. If you forgot, you can go back and listen to the tapes. It's all recorded. So, again, bottom line is the markets are going to go up year over year. They go up 8% on average over year, just not every year. So this will be eventually a buying opportunity, but if you're trading it, then it's a great opportunity to look for a spot to sell it. So you go 24.2, 25.2 would be the levels I'd be looking at. The S&P, Sierra Papa X-ray. We wanted to sell it at 2,800 last week. Notice the absolute stiff high. Okay, it was 2,801 last Tuesday. Okay, so again, look where we are now, 2,700. That's a pretty nice little move. All right. Now, again, same thing applies here. You're in a consolidation range. You're kind of forming this same type of pattern here. It's going to break one way or the other. Again, these always break out. They have to. Obviously, you can see by the way it's narrowing. It's got to break out one side or the other. And it will break out. And again, it could be both. Here, I'd be a seller probably at, 2,740 if you're aggressive. Or you can try to wait back for a run back up to 2,800. It certainly could get there. On the downside, you can look at 2,640, all right, as a spot. All right, you can play either side. Again, you can play either side depending on how they get there. You know, if we would get down to, let's say, for example, 2,640 tomorrow, I'd probably be a buyer for a trade. All right, again, it always depends on the speed in which it moves to where it's going. All right, if you get a very large move in one direction, you want to usually go on the other side for at least a trade.
Okay. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day as we try to reach our goal of 1 million downloads per month. And that's at libertytalk.fm. And of course, you know my high school investing program. I'm looking to continue to build it, but I got to raise some capital. I can no longer take care of it and pay for it myself. And I've done so for 7 years and now looking for some help. If you'd like to help out, that's Patreon.com, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, if you do that, I will give you a free week of my advisory service. See if you check it out and see if you like it. And in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we check out some of the levels we're watching and what's going on in the world. Here we go.
The NASDAQ. Charlie Oscar Michael Peter. So we said we were making new highs. We didn't want to get involved in it. And of course, it made its final new high on Tuesday and then fell apart. We had no interest in here. Now I would look at this and I'd say, you know, if you're looking to get short here, I think you can look at about 7,500. It's quite a bit of ways. I mean, it had a pretty nasty day today, you know, with all of them getting creamed. But I'd look at 7,500 as a spot to take a short, or you can pass. This would be the toughest call of all. All right. It figures to fill the gap it left. So you can look at it, but I would, my opinion here is I would sit back and observe this. I wouldn't be in such a hurry to jump into the NASDAQ. It was down very big. I certainly expect a rally. In fact, if we had a rally overnight and into the opening tomorrow, I would be a seller of that rally, but we may not get there. You know, it doesn't always play the way you'd like it to play. So I'd be more comfortable being neutral here and selling something else. Because again, it still can break out. This is only, you know, a short period of time, and it could be a one day wonder. But certainly, if you want to, 7,500 would be the spot. And I really have no buy spot here. It's got to go substantially lower for me to want to look to buy from where we sit right now. The Russell, this is the one we did want to sell last week. Romeo Uniform Tango, and we just said you could sell it. And of course, there's the top, and it's only down, you know, 60 points or so from the top, or 40 points. That's a lot of money. That's a big trade. And this, that's a big trade. All right. That's like the Dow being down, you know, 500 or 600. Anyways, we came right down. Look at where we came down to, right down to a support level and bounced. But again, I would sell this again. I'd sell this, as I say, all day long. At now, my new sell level will be about 1600. All right. And look for it to go much lower. I think we're going to go much lower here. I think this will be one of the ways that will lead us. And again, this is all tied into all the stuff that's going on. And the pattern looks like it wants to go lower. And of course, there's no reason to believe it won't. So I'd be a seller at 1600. I have no area in which I'd buy right now, except maybe 1500. I'd look at it to be a possible buyer. Crude oil, the oil markets, all the fuss about OPEC and Saudi Arabia and all that's going on here. In the meantime, every Friday, for some reason, we get a big rally. I think everybody's afraid to go home short. But notice, we're still in the same consolidation pattern. You want to sell at about 63, all right? If you want to be a buyer, you can buy at about 60. I'm not a buyer till 58. That's my first target in which I will take some profit out of this, is at 58. You know, again, there's some stuff. You had heavy volume today. You know, again, it broke hard and then it rallied all the way back. Okay. And if you take a look at it, this would be for you futures guys and gals. Here, notice this. Notice the blow off. Boom. Buying opportunity as a trade. Okay. Immediately came back. And just to go, I just want to show you the Dow too. I forgot to show this, but I do want to show this to you as well. I have to show it to you in the Dow future though, because the Dow didn't trade. Here's, the opening of Europe right here. Okay. This is when I looked, and then boom, it cracked and then it kind of flattened out and then it just fell apart all day. All right. So that's something that you look at. And that's why we always say, look to the shorter term chart to make your final decision. And it doesn't have to be 4 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. It can be 20, whatever you're comfortable is what it can be. Gold. Now you would have thought, you'd have thunk that gold would have been much higher today based on what was going on. And it really did not bounce very much. This is pretty ugly. This is a very similar pattern. I would think now if gold doesn't hold here, you're bringing 1240 back into play. Now, as bullish as I am gold, I am bullish gold in a long-term sense, but I'm not a buyer here unless I want to make a trade. I mean, this would be a spot you could step in for a trade and have an exit, you know, about 1300. If they break through 1300, it's going to 1240. Okay. But in the meantime, it could hold here. It is making what's called a descending triangle. If it breaks to the downside, this is like the other side. If you ever watched the head and shoulders, and I don't trade these patterns because they take too long to develop. But if you remember the head and shoulders, if you break through the neckline or the bottom, it means it's going lower. Well, if this breaks to the downside, that would indicate this is going lower. I would say it'll probably stay on this trajectory. You do have the Fed, which could spark this one way or the other. But the other interesting part here is that the way the dollar was, say, which was lower, and gold was still not much higher. So again, that's interesting. I'd be a seller at 1330. All right. And I'm not a buyer until about 1240 for now. And again, if we get a blow off, I'll certainly trade it and buy it, but as a longer term view. You got to wonder if gold bulls have switched to Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin took off. There was some news on Bitcoin late. But I do believe that that's a possibility. I do think some alternative money is going to Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. Listen, they're real. If you remember Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular. All right. And all I'm saying is that, you know, I was a non-believer. And now that I understand it better, I'm a believer. I don't think they're going like they did before, but I think they will go higher. And the question is which is going to be the ones that survive. There's already a number of countries using them as their national currency now. Okay, we got bonds. The bonds, Zulu, Bravo. And they made a nice little bit of a rounding bottom. They came up right to our resistance and failed, as we thought they would do. Right, Private? We thought they'd fail. And again, they may trade in this range. They'll probably make a big move on Wednesday. They may make before, but they will certainly make a big move on Wednesday. If it's a rally, if it's a spike, you want to sell it. Okay. If it's a break and you're not short, you got to wait. Okay. But I'm not a buyer right now at any price here, but I'm a seller all day long at 145 and a half. Okay. Because again, interest rates are going up. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the Fed says they're going to do. The bond market is a market of its own, and they've taken over anyways because they've raised the rates without the Fed doing anything. Mr. Banker, when's the last time the Fed raised? I forgot already. But in the meantime, the bonds have gone up from under 2% to almost 3% now, the 10-year, and the 30-year is well over 3%. So the bonds don't care what the Fed says right now. The dollar, Delta X-ray Yankee. In this range still, but we did make a higher lows here. We're now consolidating in a new level. I'm going to put my X up here and tell you that I think the dollar is going farther than this, but I think the next big move will be right to here, being around the 94.95 level. It's going to break out of here. This dollar is being suppressed by central banks and by the Fed because it helps them control global interest rates. So I'm looking to be a seller of the bond market. I mean, I'm going to be a buyer of dollar and a seller of other currencies, as well as a seller of bonds. The euro currency, obviously almost the exact opposite pattern at resistance. And as far as I'm concerned, I think you can sell this. We were short it. We did cover it today on a stop, but we're going to resell it again tomorrow if we get a little bit further into this rally. I think that it's a great sale. There's a couple of ETFs, FXE. Would be the best one to play. There's nothing great for the dollar. Otherwise, I would cover it on the call regularly instead of just the dollar. The problem with the FXE is it just doesn't have enough volatility. So you got to be right. You're not going to catch a break on volatility. You're either right or you're not. And that's something that you just want to look at. But again, FXE would be the trade. You'd want to buy puts on that or sell spreads. But there's not a lot of volatility. It's pretty lightly traded. I mean, it's not. I don't mean it like that. It just doesn't have a lot of oomph. It does have weeklies. Look at the volatility, 9%. So again, you're not going to get lucky here. You're going to need it to be. You're going to have to be right. That's the difference. Okay. And then of course the British pound has had a decent move and it did bounce off where we thought it was. It is heading higher now. I would say that you could probably, if you wanted to sell it, although we're bullish longer term, you could sell this probably at about 141.5 as a pullback. It's really just in big consolidation. And of course, our good old friend, the VIX, had a big pop today. Right off of where it should have. Remember we said last week, it's got to hold 12 or 13. And sure enough, it did. All right. So now you can expect a little bit of a push up. Now, again, you got to watch this. This is very important to you, the volatility. Because when it changes, if it starts to head back lower, and the commercials are short volatility right now. So it is that would be a little bit concerning. But they might have got trapped. They might have been the ones buying it so much today because they might have figured out that they were wrong. But we'll see. You would buy FXC. That would be you would buy puts on FXC. That would be the same as buying the dollar. You want to be short FXC. That gives you long the dollar. And the euro currency is 65% of the dollar index.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we're going to step by here for a break. Remember LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back after the break.
I know where I come from.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're checking out some stuff. Here comes some news items for you. Here we go.
Okay. This happens to be my friend, and I happen to read an article on her, and she worked for the Fed. She worked for Stanley Fisher. She was involved in the collapse, and she wrote her own book, Fed Up, but it won't take much more for the Fed to break the markets. And when she's saying this, this means that she's got information that they are totally clueless, as I say all the time. All right. Now, again, they're not going to exit properly. They never exited properly out of any strategy that they've done. I don't expect this time to be different. Okay. So again, we could get a big move on Wednesday, but I do not look, and I want to make it very clear to everybody, we're not looking for a straight down move where the market's an end. We're not perma bears. We're not looking for the end of the world. Because if you remember, in 08, the markets went down. They didn't go straight down to 6,000. They went down and then they spiked up and then they went down lower. And what they really did is they made lower highs and lower lows. That's what we're looking for. And that's what we're getting right now. So if we can continue this, we're going to continue lower, because the trend in the shorter term now is now certainly down. The long term monthly trend is still up, but the short term trend is now down. The UK spy agencies warned power companies to brace for a crippling Russian cyber attack. Is this something new? Are we not always worried about what somebody's going to do? Is there not somebody always using some sort of attack somewhere? You know, again, I don't like to see news that is meant to scare you into stuff, because, again, there's something going on every day. I mean, back in the 70s, they were hijacking planes, if you remember. Okay. So, again, could something happen? Absolutely. But am I going to stop living because of it? No. Bang and Apple now account for 25% of the NASDAQ. And some are getting worried. Well, they should be worried. You've got five stocks that control the entire NASDAQ now. That is out of whack to real life. That is out of whack to the actual market structure. All right. This is the fallacy of when you see these big moves and you see what's driving them. I mean, there's only a handful of stocks that are really responsible for almost all of this recent rally. Okay. I mean, Boeing, you ever see a stock like Boeing? I mean, Boeing used to be, an old stodgy stock that never moved, doubles in 1 year. I mean, those things just don't happen. So it is something to worry about, that these stocks, because you don't think, if anybody thinks that Facebook is the first one to have one of these announcements, or Amazon or Google aren't going to have a problem, or Netflix doesn't have a problem, then, you know, you're going to be in for a rude awakening one day. And the real key is not whether or not they will go up again, because I'm sure they'll all go up again. But the real key is, will you have enough to staying power to stay with it if they're clobbering? Red Lights Out by Ted Kopp. Oh, by the way, I sent you, Paul, just so you know, it's on its way. Probably get stuck in customs. Nobody's interested in a trade war. Well, again, I'm not looking for, first of all, this is not Hoot Smalley. Okay, that's number one. These economists are all idiots. All right. None of them has an understanding of the real world of business. And I know most of you do. OK, so this is all nonsense. All right. Everybody wants to make excuses because everybody likes the Keynesian way of printing money and doing that. But you cannot continue to get in the deficit. And I just, you know, I've used this example a couple of times before, but, you know, we got a $21 trillion deficit. OK, Now, just to give you an idea how big that really is, 1 million seconds in time is 12 years. 1 billion seconds in time is 32 years, making 1 trillion seconds in time 32,000 years. Okay, think about that number as we move on. That's why you had, you're dang right, the American movement towards socialism and communism. Look, this is, if you go back, if you're a conspiracy theorist, and if you go back and read The Creature from Jekyll Island, that's what he wrote in his book, that the big guys are trying to turn it into socialism anyways, so they can have all the money, all right? But again, our youth, the millennials, are certainly on board with the socialism, communism mode, because they haven't been out to the real workforce yet, you know? So again, is it something to be worried about? I'm not worried about it because I'm too old and it won't bother me. But in the meantime, I think it is something to be concerned about, okay? Because again, we need to get back to the free market system that we have, not this phony, fake money, fake markets that the Fed designs, okay? The Fed should be audited and put out of business, along with the government should be audited. We wouldn't have a $21 trillion deficit. I mean, the Fed only created $5 trillion. They like Bernie. It is a great book. Peter Navarro's Trade Mess says U.S. lost 55 million jobs. That wouldn't surprise me. Again, you don't think that we, all this exporting and importing that we did, that we changed everything, that we didn't give away a lot of jobs. I mean, we've replaced some, but again, there's a lot of, we gave up a lot. And the real problem is, in today's world, because of the economy, we're hurting the people that are my age, 40 to 60. Are the people that are getting hurt the worst, the ones that are uneducated and the ones that were working, you know, line jobs or machine tool jobs. You know, those are the jobs that we're missing, the ones that pay, actually paid real money. Housing starts and permits well below most pessimistic estimates. Look, the housing market depends on money. If interest rates are rising, it's hard enough to get a loan as it is. Mr. Banker, I know you're here. I saw you. Is it still hard to get a loan? Is it still hard to get money? Because I need it for my presentation. But again, the average guy has trouble borrowing money. So how's he going to buy a house? And of course, the houses are directly, this is where the free market leaves us. We don't have a free market because the houses are directly tied to what the interest rate is. If rates go higher, houses go down. If rates go lower, houses go up. So basically, it's the same thing. It's the same difference. Bitcoin, the new stock market indicator. I don't know about that, but I think that, you know, somebody asked earlier, and I think that that's a true thing to think about, is that Bitcoin is an alternative investment. And again, I would never tell anybody to put a lot of money into it. I don't have a lot of money into it, but I have money in it. And I bought some Ethereum yesterday, because you can trade that 7 days a week. So that's the one true free market. All right, because it's open 24 hours a day. There's nobody controlling it. It buys and sells. Okay. We haven't had a trade war in decades. It obviously hasn't worked. What the hell? Let's try a trade war. Well, again, you know, we need to get things on a fair. The first thing is the United States needs to take charge. Again, they need to flex their muscle a little bit. Enough of this kiss ass stuff. All right. I mean, again, I'm not looking for a war. You know, I don't want to see my kids have to go off to fight. I just want to see fairness. And I want to see what I remember. And I want to see free markets again at some point. Okay. Because right now the markets are not free. Again, they're totally controlled by if the Fed burps or not. Okay. But Bitcoin is a good alternative, you know, or the cryptocurrency space. All right. And I think you're probably at a buy spot. If you play that space, you're probably at a buy spot. Okay. I'm not telling you to go out and buy it if you don't, but if you do play, I think you're probably in a good spot for buying. Bitcoin mining in New York costs premium. Bitcoin headed to 2,800. Well, you know, again, everybody wants to make their great calls. I say that Bitcoin will go up and down just like the stock market, and it should start to rise. Now, whether it's going to be, again, the question will be whether it be Bitcoin or not, because again, they're working on their fees, because that's the biggest thing holding them back. But if they get that under control, then they could be the main one. Or does Ethereum trade? Ethereum is, I use Coin, what the hell is it called? Coin something. I'll email you. I can't remember the name. But you know, you have to have a wallet, a digital wallet. But Coinbase, is it Coinbase? Coinbase is one of the few that let you convert U.S. dollars into currencies, whereas a lot of the other ones that I have, I've got a couple of different spots, but you have to have the current, you have to have the cryptocurrency to convert with them. Whereas Coinbase is the only one that I know, and I know there's more, but it's the only one that I know of that you can put a check in, okay, and they'll and you can convert it to cryptocurrency. Gemini.com is better. Okay. Oh, you're my guy. You're my hedger. Yeah. I know. How you feeling with all this stuff? Okay. But only credit cards have become easier to get. Got to keep those consumers buying. Well, that's funny you say that, because all they're trying to do is continue to, it's really, what are we? We're a by the month society, right? So as long as I can afford it by the month, that's all I care about. And that's not the right way. We're the worst savers, and we have the worst. We're 38th in education across the world. We're the 30. We have the 38th best education. The coming pension crisis. You know, we've talked about this 1,000 times. I mean, you know, again, it's real. You can't keep paying out $4 for every dollar you take in. Eventually, you go kablooey. Okay. The Goldilocks rest in peace. You know, is this a Goldilocks economy? Everybody wants to live in the past and say that this is perfect. Well, I don't know. I see so many things that scare the living, you know what, out of me from this Goldilocks economy. I'm tired of Goldilocks. I want to see the market trade. I want to see free and fair trade everywhere. And I want to see the system work the way it's supposed to work, not the way that it's manipulated to work. I don't remember, in 1980, when I first started trading on the floor, I didn't care what the dollar was doing. I didn't hear Caterpillars whining about the dollar all the time when they didn't make their earnings. I didn't hear everybody worried about this, that, and the other thing. All right. Everybody just traded. And all of a sudden, you get Alan Greenspan in, the first bubble builder, followed by Bernanke, the next bubble builder. And all you got is a bunch of guys that want to build bubbles because they're afraid to pull the trigger and say, hey, the market's got to trade. Let it trade and let the asset classes price themselves, because they will. The markets will always say it's fair. It's like going to a flea market. You know, if a guy wants 10, you offer him 5, he doesn't take it, then you don't have price discovery.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and a reminder of my high school investing program. That's at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. You want to help out? We're looking to get into about 30,000 high schools. So if you want to be part of it, let me know and just go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, what's going on? And we'll get back into what we were listening to. Here we go.
Aramco said it gets a cool response from IPO. I guess now they're only going to list on the Saudi Arabian exchange. Okay. I don't know. Again, I don't really care. Oil's going, in my opinion, in some point in my life, unless I die tomorrow, which is always a possibility, but sometime I believe I'll see $20 oil again. And again, I'm not playing it like that right now. I don't ever make those calls, but I do believe that at some point oil is going to be worthless. Because what good is it? What do we need it for? If you get big oil out of the picture, then oil is worthless anyway. See, we got enough other natural resources that can provide energy. Markets themselves will cause the next crash. Well, and I'm a big believer in that. Okay, I actually believe, and you know my feelings, I've made them clear, is that the dollar and the Fed is what's going to create the crash, which will be through the market. It's not going to be a geopolitical event as everybody is looking for. It's not going to be another housing crisis. It's going to be a crisis within itself. You know, debt at record highs, margin debt, credit card debt, national debt, every debt is at record highs. Where are we going? Unless they give all this debt away and cut it in half. I mean, again, it's a problem. And of course, the big story today was the Facebook leads the plunge. Listen, Facebook's up from the IPO price, I think was 40, but it went to 15. So now it's 180 or 172. So are we worried? I don't know. Maybe it's going broke. All right. You know, one little story and all of a sudden everybody wants to sell. Well, that just tells you one thing, how jittery the markets are and how many people want to get out as fast as they can and want to beat the crowd out the door. $2 million homes in Seattle selling in 1 week, 10 days. There you go. Don't need oil. We have Tesla. There you go. When are the jets going to start flying without oil? It's not just tech. Credit markets give fuel to the equity route. And of course, that's right. This is the flattening yield curve. right? Again, no, nobody cares about it. Nobody wants to talk about these things. And whenever I go on air, nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about the good things. They don't want to talk about the potential that a flattening yield curve is no good for anybody, that we're getting out of whack. They don't care about the debt. They don't care about anything. All right. So, all right, Oklahoma, I got all my bitching in. You can go. I'm going to look at some stocks now. Uber, self-driving car. Oh, first of all, I did see that. Solar powered jets, but no night flights. Would gold be a good hedge in the event of a crash? No. Gold is not. Don't be depressed. Be happy. The markets are going to go up eventually. I mean, they're still up if you look at it. Gold is not a good hedge. Gold is a hard asset that you should own. There's only one true way to hedge your portfolio, and that is by using options against that portfolio. Gold, just look at the performance. Okay. If you'd hedged gold against it, you'd be in a world of hurt right now. Okay. Gold is a great hard asset. I think everybody should have some representation in their portfolio of gold, but I do not use gold as a hedge. It does not hedge your portfolio. It only really hedges a currency, is really what it does. But it's really just another commodity. You can trade well, just down, going up. LIBOR overnight rate is spiking higher. Something is wrong. Institutions know already. Yep. Listen, the London Interbank Lending Rate is always like that. This is what's going on. Again, I can tell you, and I can tell you, but you'll have to see it for yourself. You're going to see what's going to happen here. And again, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not begging for the market. Listen, I'm long. I own the market. All right. Everything, every dime, I'm 100%, well, not 100, but about 90% on the market. Okay. And 10% miscellaneous stuff. All right. So I'm not looking for the market to break. I just know it's going to, and I'm going to be prepared for it. LIBOR is more responsive than treasuries. Now, there you are. I've been asking you questions all night. Where you been? you left me hanging out here on a ledge. LIBOR is more funny than the Fed. Is GLD okay to own? Well, GLD is okay, but I have a problem with GLD. I think that the ETFs are oversold. I think they're oversubscribed. And I think if you want to exercise, you want to get the physical gold, you wouldn't get it. I would personally, for me, I would rather own physical gold. For me, the truth of the matter is I'd rather own silver than anything. Okay. I think silver is the best own. It's 80-1. The charter when it was made, when it was designed, silver was 15-1 to gold. Now it's 80-1. If you go back to, I think it was 11 when we had the high-end gold and the high-end silver, it was 40-1. So to me, the play here is to actually be short gold, long silver. But I mean, I would start to accumulate silver if I was going to buy anything. Okay. If you want to hold GLD, no problem. But again, I wouldn't buy, if I was going to buy that to hold, I wouldn't buy it. I would buy the physical. More banks use LIBOR instead of trading or just over loans. Thank you, sir. Now you're talking to me. GDX does not trade as well as it did 2 or 3 years ago. No, it does not. Any level for accumulating silver? You can start buying it now. If it goes lower, it goes lower. Again, if you're going to buy this hard asset, you just buy it. And you buy, like, you're going to buy $5,000 worth by $1,250, you know, today. And if it goes higher, you can buy more. If it goes lower, you can buy more on the way down. That's the one trade I'll average in and out of. Okay, but I never get out, so I'll average in. Apple. Alpha, Alpha, Papa, Lima. So we called it neutral because the captain told me it was going to 180, and he was right again. But fortunately, I didn't bet him this time. However, now I'd be a seller at 177. And I would not look to even think about buying until about 167, but I would be a seller at 177. And it probably will get there tomorrow because I'm sure all this Facebook crap will blow over. Of course, the Dow is down pretty good tonight again, so we'll see what happens. AMBA, Alpha Michael, Bravo Alpha. So we said last week, sell it at 55. Well, look at the top, 55.35. It's now 52 and change. You can still sell it at 55. I would look to be a buyer of this probably down around 50. 50 to 55 on AMBA, Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. SLV, it's okay. It's okay to trade. But again, let me just explain to you. It's okay for a trade, but it's not something that I'd want to store. If I'm buying it for a potential currency, or I'm buying it for some sort of maybe protection, then the paper may not be good, because again, I think all these ETFs are oversubscribed. And if there's a run for the door, I don't know if you'll ever get your stuff. That's why I like to own my own. Amazon, Alpha Michael, Zulu, November. I called it neutral. I'm still going to call it neutral. You know, it's probably going to pop. What I'd like to really see is I'd like to see it come down to about 1450 and then rally and then fail. Then I'd like to sell it. I'd like to sell it at 1600, but I'd like to see it come down first and then I'd like to sell the subsequent rally. For now, we'll stay neutral. Apache, Alpha Papa Alpha. Last week we said, go ahead and buy it. All right. And, you know, again, we're not running to the moon, but I think it's still a good buy. I think this has found its lows. I think it's going higher. Again, I wouldn't jump in today at this minute, but if it pulls back to 35, I would. I think you look forward to this first stop at probably 37. But I think this is going back over 40 before it's all said and done. All right. So I'd look for opportunities to buy this. I think that it looks fine. It held perfectly. And again, that's what I'd look to do. Baba. Bravo Alpha. Bravo Alpha. Okay. So we said we wanted to be a seller about 200. And there it is. Okay. Now, it's probably going to bounce. If it gets down that low, it'll probably bounce off of 190. But I'd be a seller at 200 again. I'm not a legit buyer until about 185. Okay, and maybe not even then, but for right now, looking at this chart, I'd make it 185 to 200. Conoco, Charlie, Oscar, Papa. Sell it at 56. We never got there. Okay, so now our consolidation is working out at 55. It looks like 52 to 55 would be the way to trade it. So I would look to be a buyer at 52, a seller at 55. And if I got on either side, I wouldn't get out if it went to the other side. What I would do is I would look to see, you know, let's say I was lucky enough to sell it at 55. If it got down to 52, I wouldn't cover in reverse. I would see if it would break down through there. When we're watching the consolidation, what we're really looking for, if we get in at the bottom, we're hoping that it breaks out above the top. If we get in at the top, we're hoping it breaks to the bottom. We're hoping it breaks out of this range and we're on the right side. That's why if we sell the double top, then we want it to break down and we buy the bottom. We want it to break out to the upside. But that's how you play consolidation. If it fails to break out, then you adjust your stop and you get out and take your money.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.